Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone, that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have done, heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone! What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying and saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Here ends the reading of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A few notes on this passage, Luke 4. We notice here that our Lord is fully God and fully man. You'll notice that he is filled with God's Holy Spirit. That is a sign that he is possessed of a true human nature. He joined that with his Godhead, a full and complete human nature that requires filling by God's Spirit to do the work set before him as Messiah. You also see our Lord's humanity and that he suffered our common infirmities. Notice here, he went without food for 40 days. And was he fine without food for 40 days? No, he was not. He afterward, it said, hungered. Our Lord had a true body that required sustenance. It required food. And when deprived of food, it would become hungry, as ours is hungered when we are deprived of food. And you will notice that Satan comes to tempt him at the very point of his human nature. He says, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread." Satisfy your appetite, in other words. You are a man like other men with hunger. Partake. Miraculously turn the stones into bread. And the reading, "if thou be the Son of God," could possibly also be, "since thou art the Son of God." Assuming this to be the case, prove it. Prove that you are the Son of God, that you are fully God as well as fully man. You'll notice our Lord responds with, "it is written." Not every opinion about the Bible is correct. Not everyone's assertion, even when they're quoting the Bible, is accurate. Our Lord answers his false assertions, you'll see later, with the assertions of God's holy word. "It is written." This is in the perfect tense. It stands written to this very day. God's word does not pass away. Its authority continues to this present moment. And therefore our Lord combats him with the written word, the authoritative word of Almighty God. And what does he say about the word? That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Or as in Matthew, every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. God's oracles, in other words. What he said by his prophets. What he said by his apostles. We call that the Bible. Man's life, man's spiritual nourishment, Jesus says, is to be by God's word, by the scriptures themselves. Not improperly quoted by the devil, but as they are truly meant by God himself. The devil then takes him to a high mountain, shows him all the world's kingdoms, and says, if only you just bow to me, I'll give this to you. All the glory, I can give it to whomever I will. Notice Satan, he is the great deluder, but he is also the great deluded one. He believes that all the kingdoms of the earth are his by right, that he has the right to transfer them over, and we must not be deluded with him. Satan may rule illegitimately over the kingdoms of the earth. There may be men, there may be nations who do not honor the Lord our God as they are required to do so. They may not acknowledge his providence as Nebuchadnezzar, before he was struck insane, believed that he was the great king of all the earth, that he had built great Babylon. But was he right? No. God struck him with madness. He made him eat grass. And at the end of that period, he understood and his reason returned to him. And he said, the Lord rules among the nations of the earth. The Lord gives the kingdoms to whomever he pleases. What does this pipsqueak fallen angel have to say about himself? To me are delivered all the kingdoms of the world, and I give them to whomever I will. Is that true? No, nothing could be more false. The Lord our God has the right over all the kingdoms, and therefore the Lord our God can cause us to bow down and worship before him. There is no creature that can say, come bow and worship before me. I'm the ruler of the nations. No, you are not. And so our Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Because God has given us a word concerning his worship. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, if you go back to Deuteronomy, you'll find, him shalt thou serve. Jesus adds the word only. There is only one proper object of our worship, and that is the Lord, our God. Again, Satan tempts our Lord, saying that God would deliver him. Doesn't Scripture say in the book of the Psalms that God would deliver his Messiah? Doesn't it say that he'll always look out for you, and he won't even cause your foot to be dashed against a stone, his angels will uphold you. You have these promises of preservation. Why not push the limits a little bit? Let me put it to you another way. You have the safety net of the gospel. You know your sins are forgiven. Can't you push the limits of his commandments just a little bit? Take a little risk. God will forgive you. Go ahead. Exercise your own little kingdom. And what does our Lord say? No, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Do not test him and ask, will he forgive? Will he miraculously deliver me? Do his will. Keep his commandments. Do not push and test him as to whether he will deliver you should you throw yourself down from the top of the pinnacle of the temple. This is not the appropriate response. Shakespeare says the devil will quote the scripture with a smiling cheek. He has the word of God to mislead people, to cause them to tempt God, to violate his laws. Does it not say that we are saved by grace through faith? Does that not mean that therefore it doesn't matter how you live? It doesn't matter what you do. You can put yourself in risk, in harm's way. That is not the case. Do not tempt the Lord our God, our Lord says. Then we see our Lord going in the power of the Spirit again, his full humanity engaged in preaching the gospel and being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see his fame and his teaching. He's teaching in the synagogues. All the people hear the gracious words. They see the mighty deeds. His words are oracles. His deeds are miracles. And the people wonder at it. Our Lord comes home to those familiar with his family. We find out from the other gospels he had sisters. He had brothers. He had his father Joseph. They knew who these people were. And therefore they despise him. They think lightly of him because they know him so well. They know his family so well. But he opens the scripture, he reads it. We see there, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. God anointed our Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal those brokenhearted, to deliver the captives, to give sight to the blind. And what did they see our Lord doing? Preaching the gospel to the poor, opening the eyes of the blind, taking and healing those brokenhearted, setting at liberty those in bondage and crushed by sin and by Satan, bruised by them. We see our Lord is fulfilling the acceptable year of the Lord. You'll read about this in the book of Leviticus. God had a year of redemption when all the promises of God about the land, about their freedom, that God would restore those to them. All will be made right, in other words, in this acceptable year of the Lord. And who fulfills that Jubilee year but our Lord Jesus Christ? He himself is our redemption. He is our liberty. We are set free from the bondage of sin and death through his death. God gives us light, springing up in darkness through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus points this out. He points out that he is the fulfillment of these prophecies. And the people are a little upset. What about us? What's our end of the deal, Jesus? We heard about what you did in Capernaum. We want you to do those things here. We demand that you heal yourself, your own people. Come now. Do some miracles, boy. That's the idea. We know your father. We know your brother and sisters. We want you to do something for us now. We demand it of you. Heal thyself. That's in the imperative mood. How disrespectful. You, Messiah, Son of God, show us some tricks. We want to see them too. And does Jesus respond well to being told what to do? Being commanded to heal us as well? No, he will not have any of it. He will not be their trickster, their gamester, their magician. No, not at all. He is the Lord of glory. He has just pointed that out. He is the Son of God. He is the master who's filled with the Spirit, who preaches the gospel. He's the angel that redeemed our father Jacob from all his troubles. Do not tell me what to do. Do not command me. I am your authority. And so then he points out, think about your own Bible. Go back and read 1 Kings. Think about what happened. Was God obliged to do nice things for Ahab and his wicked house, or for all the people of Israel and all of their widows? What about all the lepers in Israel? Was God under some kind of obligation to cleanse all the lepers of the people of God? Do you have some special ticket that says, look, you have to do what we say, you must heal us? Because after all, we are the privileged people of God. We have all these blessings bestowed upon us. Was God under any obligation to send his prophets? No, he was not. And Jesus points this out. God went to the Gentiles, to those dogs in Zidon, to those wicked Syrians who kept on invading the land of Israel. That's where he sent his prophets. That's where he sent his healing. He is the sovereign master, and he will not be told what to do. You will not command Jehovah. Heal all of our widows. Cleanse all of our lepers. Provide for all of our needy. Do it now. We demand it. After all, we are the people, and knowledge will perish with us. No, the Lord does not respond kindly to any such blasphemous expectations. And so he points this out. And how do the people receive it? You know, Jesus, you've got a good point. We should not be making demands and having expectations of you. We should be submitting to your will. No, they respond in wrath, in anger, in murderous rage. They take the Son of God and seek to cast him off the brow of the hill. Are you going to win in this battle? No. And so here we see our Lord escapes. He passes through the midst of them. And then he comes down again and is preaching the gospel, always about his Father's business. Also, the people there are astonished. They see a man who has an unclean spirit. The unclean spirit, our Lord, in his almighty power, overcomes that unclean spirit. Even though he confesses Jesus to be the Son of God, he stops that confession. He rebukes him and pushes him aside and says, "Get out of this man. Release him from his bondage, from his bruising. I'm here to set him at liberty." In other words, in fulfillment of the prophecy. Our Lord rebukes the unclean spirit, and the people see the power. "Who is this? What a word is this," they say, "for with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. He is not mere man, he is fully God and fully man, in one person forever, our Lord Jesus Christ." We also see him cast out a fever by his word, commanding a sickness to depart from a person. Can you imagine? All the technology and money and research that we spend to deal with infirmities and sicknesses, all our Lord has to do is fiat. "Let it be so. Speak the word, and it is so." We see the same with many who are sick with diverse diseases and devils. Christ, he is the Son of God, but he will not suffer those demons to speak forth that he is the Son of God, to make that confession known. He wanted to silence them. He doesn't need Satan's assistance in building his kingdom. He doesn't want it joined up with Satan's kingdom. And so we see our Lord Jesus Christ, his preaching, his power, his oracles of speech, his miracles in deeds. We see his full Godhead, we see his full manhood, and we see that he is our salvation. He is the one who preaches the acceptable year of the Lord. Praise God for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.